The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with apparently not my new BFF, a friend from way back, Jason Bain. He says he's been on the podcast before. I'm pretty sure he's lying, but if Lindsay or whoever's doing the editing, if he's not lying, put in the show notes his first thing, and then I'll go back and go, well, I'll be damned, what do I know? Anyway, this guy started NAE Cleaning Solutions, July 2013. They serve commercial clients in Austin, Texas. So it's 2022. You've been doing this 9 years. So even if we talked a couple of years ago, you still were doing like 7 years. So it's not like you were new and now you're old. You were old and now you're older.
Yeah.
Okay. And for those of you just on the podcast, not watching the video, dude looks young. So, you know, how old were you? I mean, if you're a dude, so I'm going to be okay talking age. If you're late, I'd have to tread lightly. How old were you when you started this thing?
So I'm 38 now. So whatever the math is on that. So around 30, I guess, is about 8-9 years old.
Right.
Yeah. So right. we started in 2013. To be honest,
10 years. We're 2022, man. You're like,
yeah, yeah, close to 10 now. So it's flying by. But yeah, so when we started, you know, I was working a full time job, and I actually just stepped out of that full time role just 2 years ago, December 2020. Wow. So full time in the business, and it's just been wild. So that's just a little tidbit there. But
what hasn't aged you yet? But we'll talk it again in 2 years. See if you look like an old man.
Probably so.
We all got to have goals, right?
Right.
Cool. So beautiful. What's going on in your world, man? How can I best help you?
Yeah. So the last time we spoke on the podcast, I was kind of, the question was, you know, how do I retain, you know, talent I can't afford was the topic. Mm-hmm. And I had an operations manager at that time. We were doing, you know, much less than we are now. And we had just very limited resources financially. And you kind of helped me navigate that. And it was just like a really helpful moment and pivotal moment really in the experience that I've had so far. So I appreciate that. And thank you for that feedback. It helped a lot.
Good tease, by the way. So now we got to put the link to the other one because people are like, why would you talk about this great podcast and then not like, let me find it. So
it's in there somewhere. I know someone, I think Mariana actually confirmed that with me. So she found it. So it's in there.
Okay. It exists. We'll try and make it easy for you to find, but if you can't, apparently it's on the interwebs. You can dig that bad boy out.
Right. So anyway, so today though, it's kind of a different situation, right? So we've got an idea of what our ideal client would be, you know, especially within Austin, there's a lot of growth, a lot of, you know, a lot of people migrating here from California and elsewhere. And I think I read an article yesterday, there's about 7.5 million commercial square feet under construction or development currently in the Austin area. So a lot of opportunity. The problem we're having, we're doing okay on the SEO side. We're getting some leads coming in every day or two. The issue is being able to kind of dedicate and commit to the right ones. And so what I mean by that is our team, you know, we have a pretty good sized team. We're still a relatively small company, but we're in a place right now where we're getting these leads coming in and they're smaller clients and nothing against that. But for us, it's like, where do we focus what resources and time that we do have? And we realize that, you know, the name of the game for us and what our strategy is kind of getting square footage. So, you know, whether it's at least 25,000 square feet is ideal for us, you know, up to the hundreds of thousands of square feet, you know, is where we want to be. And so kind of cultivating those relationships, finding out how to get the attention of those potential clients. These are people like property managers, commercial property managers, facilities managers, things like that. So, you know, we have a couple of things we're trying, but I just was curious. I mean, I know you kind of, you're the brain here. You've got all these people come to you and I'm sure you've got a lot of information in there that may relate to this. So I'm curious what you think.
Cool. Let me restate what I heard you ask so I can make sure I'm answering what you asked, not what I thought I heard you ask, because that could be annoying. What I hear you saying is, hey, we're pretty good at attracting clients. We'd like to get better at attracting the right clients and getting enough of them to meet our growth goals. Did I totally put words in your mouth? Or is that what
you're asking? Perfect. No, that's the short of it. Yeah.
Okay. And I got to tell you, for everyone out there, I'll give you away the secrets of the trade of coaching here. Half the opportunity is getting clear on the question, right? If Jason asked a poor question or a question that's not going to get him where he wants to go, and I gave him the perfect coaching for 10 hours and he had it was perfect, he's actually worse off than he started because now he's going faster down the wrong road, which is not helpful. So I want to encourage you, as you're formulating questions for yourself or if you're working with a coach or however you're moving forward,
man, you ask a really powerful, specific question, half the battle is won. It's very easy. It's so much easier to get a powerful, specific answer to a powerful, specific question, but you get the wrong question, right answer, wrong answer, it doesn't matter. You're going the wrong direction. So
sure.
Important that we clarify that. Okay, cool. So one thing I want to set expectations, and we'll kind of talk about the tactical, how to actually do that. I think a belief people have that is not serving them is, and it works for client attraction or employee attraction. Like, we just had our live event for our next level millionaire mastermind clients. And one of the guys, Gregorio, one of our Canadian friends, asked, he's like, I've got a bunch of people coming in to my hiring funnel that don't have a driver's license. And I'm frustrated as all bejesus because it was all get out because I put an ad, have a driver's license. And he's just going nuts. So Tracy did, or one of our mindset coaches did a bunch of mindset work with me, which went awesome and is too long for this. So we're going to skip that part. But what we really got down to is, how many people are you trying to hire? And do you have enough of those people coming in? And once we got down to the data, because people want to bring the drama, it's so frustrating. I don't like it. It makes me crazy. No one wants to work. And we kind of make these broad generalizations of how we feel, but we go to the data, how we feel and what's actually happening in the world are not the same thing. And what it came down to is his funnel was great. He had a great funnel. All you need to do is spend a little more money. That's it. And that's not everybody's solution, but he was focused on, I'm getting too many people that have no driver's license. I want a driver's license. How do I fix that problem? That was not the right problem. The right problem is, how many people do you need this month? How many people do you have? Let's look at the data and find out where we're failing, and then we can fix that. So sure. Jason's like, great. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
No. It does. I mean, it's relative, right? Like, where are you putting your focus? Like, where are you seeing the problem, and where is the actual problem, right? I think that's what I'm getting from that.
Right. So the actual problem I would look at your end is not, how do I get more of the right? It would be, how do I get more of the right? I wouldn't focus on, how do I get less of the wrong customers, right? So if you need to hit your goals, 32 leads, 10 bids, 3 new clients, average client being $2,500 a month. I'm making all this up to hit your goals. And you're like, I got 73 bids and none of them were enough. And we, you know, of those 73, only 10 of them were any freaking good that I wanted to bid. And only 3 of them were the ones I wanted. Well, did you hit your goal? Well, yeah, but tackle it, right? So I want to make sure we're focusing on getting enough of the right leads, and because we're used to, when people start the real prep, I don't do any marketing at all. Like, I get, you know, what's your close for 100%. I close every bit I go on, more on the residential than the commercial, but they've got this belief that, and maybe it is 70% or some exorbitantly high number. Well, how many bids do you do? Well, I did 1 2 months ago. Well, yeah. when you're just doing repeat referral customers, obviously your conversion rate from leads to bids and bids to sales is going to be extraordinarily high, but if you want to scale it with that, you can't. Right. So that said, I mean, I promise you, we're gonna talk tactics. You're like, I just want to know how to get the right clients. I promise.
No, fine, all good.
Yeah. Cool, but I want to make sure we're tracking right. So I would track how many leads, bid, sales we need, how many leads, bid, sales we're getting, and as long as the average bid and sale amount sorts out, I'm not worried about it. So say we want an average of $2,500, and we're like, we got 5 new clients last month, and 6 of them were all between $500 and $1,500. Like, people will take, but we don't really want them. Well, how much was the 7th? $8,200. Okay. as long as we're hitting our goals, I'll get there ugly as I will pretty. So as long as we're still hitting it, make sure that we're focused on the goal.
Yeah.
More so than getting quote unquote the right leads. So as long as I'm getting enough, as long as I hit my goals, I don't care if it comes ugly or comes pretty. Are we cool with that as a foundation?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think there's definitely a lot to that for sure.
Cool. That said, the easiest answer to your question, okay, fine. All that bull crap. Now just tell me how to get the right leads. Right fish, right bait, baby. So if your messaging is $50 off your first clean, you're going to get somebody that would be attractive to. And I'll give you a hint. You probably already know they don't have 25,000 square feet, right? That's not their, you know, and then you're shocked. They're like, why am I getting a chiropractor with you? Right. Well, let's look at the bait that, you know, I'm using $100 bills and I'm putting them, you know, on the end of my hook in the water. Like, why is no fish baiting? And I've got disgusting fish food. I'm trying to give it to you. Why are you not interested? Like, well, wrong bait, man. Nothing wrong with $100. Yeah. They're in the wrong spot.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Second thing is, we need to make it about them and their pain, not us and our pain. So a lot of people, when I say, hey, we need a niche, you want to find out who your ideal customer is, they'll go, oh, I want someone that's at least 5 days a week, 25,000 square feet, and isn't cheap. Great, let's do some marketing. Hey, everybody, are you a property manager or building owner of a building at least 25,000 square feet that isn't cheap? and want some cleaning, that's not really about them. That's not how they identify. They're not going to raise their hand as, oh my gosh, that's me, right? Like if I said, are you a young man? Are you a married man? Are you a proud father? Are you a veteran? Are you, you know, you would identify with those things, but
sure.
Yeah. So we got to make it about their pain. So what I'm going to look for is, just as the chiropractor with a 1200 square foot office that needs cleaning once or twice a week for $800, he's got a different pain than the guy with 25,000. So just like he might be attracted to a free clean or a $50 off or, you know, some sort of thing like that. We just got to know what the people that you want. So let's start with that. Who are you serving? So not 25,000 square feet. Cause that could be a hospital, which has wildly different pain than.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So who is your actual client regardless?
Yeah, just your standard commercial buildings with, you know, handful of tenants, you know, or however many tenants, common areas, day porter service is usually a necessity at those properties. Things like that. Nothing kind of abstract. We don't do hospital. We don't do industrial. We don't do restaurant. We really just focus on our contracts. We do. We have a bunch of smaller, you know, we don't have a problem with those. It's just as we kind of start to grow and scale, that's where we're kind of like realizing it's helpful. But yeah, so that's kind of where we're at as far as what we're looking for.
Well, again, believe it or not, I like that you talked about actually what you do. You told me what you don't do, which is not perfect. We're going to keep diving in. But it's a good start. So knowing I don't do hospitals, I don't do gyms, I don't do restaurants, whatever that case may be, fine. God bless. That's good. But when I ask who you do, you talk about what they need, not what their pain is, or what the services that you provide, not what their pain is. So day porter services. Let's reverse engineer and kind of explode what that might look like. So day porter services, maybe that's what we want. I want someone 5 or 7 days a week that requires a day porter. Good. Now we got our needs clear. They don't care about that. We can't market that. What's their need? So why do your people need a day porter?
Yeah, just to keep up the property in general, right? So a lot of these buildings, you know, they have to have like a certain level of cleanliness and presentation for their tenants, kind of customers and things like that. Anybody's coming through the door, whether it's a corporate, you know,
what happens in. if they don't have that minimum level of cleanliness, what happens in their world?
Well, it just reflects negatively in the first person to hear about it as a property manager, right? They're going to be like, why was there a giant spill in the middle of the lobby all day long? And they came and left for lunch. No one's there. You know, no one's there cleaning. What's going on, right? Stuff like that.
There it is.
Yeah.
Are you sick of having tenant calls about the giant spill in the middle of the lobby that's been there all day long?
Yeah.
Ask that question. Right. Only people that need day porters are going to go, yes, I am. How did you know? So if you say, you must be a property manager who needs day porters, they're not interested. If you talk about the problem that the day porter solves, they're wildly interested.
Sure.
You also kind of said a throwaway statement that I want to make sure we're clear on. There's a wild difference between owners of buildings and property managers. Neither is right or wrong, but there might be the same 50,000 square foot building that is owned by self-owned and operated, and their pains and conversation can be wildly different property managers. So believe it or not, I wouldn't divvy it up, certainly not externally, maybe not even internally, by square footage. I would divvy it up by who the pain person is. So again, the owner of a 50,000 square foot building probably is not going to be handling it. He's going to have a facilities manager. That facilities manager's profile, age, sex, pain, headache, income, all that is going to be over here, and a property manager is going to have completely different pains. And if you try and give that same bait to a property manager as you do to a facilities manager that owns a building, you're going to have limited success.
Yeah, sure. That's a good point. Yeah. Breaking apart the difference between those, you know, those three really, like owner, facilities manager, and like property manager, right? Yeah. That's super important. Now, I like that. I like where you came through with that for sure. Thank you.
Well, it's really the mindset, right? As much as I want to give you good answers, it's more of the let's think about how to think of this in a way that's a little more tactical and effective than
anything. So kind of pushing out that advertising and things like that, focused on like more so on problems. And we always talk about that, right? But it's good to like just chat, even in this conversation here, is helpful to kind of make me realize, okay, let's just go through the list. Like, let's have a meeting, right? And go through the list of complaints that we see or we hear people talk about when we're doing a walkthrough in a new property, and make like just a spreadsheet of all those things, and then start creating content around those issues and directing them towards like property managers as much as you can target, you know, as far as like, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, advertising, stuff like that. So,
well, the cool thing is you don't even have to target that well. Like if my podcast is called Grow My Cleaning Company Podcast.
Sure. That's true.
So I could throw that out on a Super Bowl ad, which I wouldn't, because the return
would be a little pricey. Yeah.
I think it'd be a little, I don't think that the numbers would pencil.
Right.
that's wildly untargeted, right? And targeting is better, but the name of the thing makes a big difference. If it was pictures of cute kittens on the internet and I did a Super Bowl, I'd probably get a lot, crap ton of traffic, right?
Right now, for sure.
Yeah, but if it was, or Biden sucks or Biden's the best or Trump sucks or Trump's the best, I get exactly half the country coming to whatever that is.
Yeah.
But the point being, with the name Grow My Cleaning Company Podcast, we're super small. Like, you know, we get, there are people that have way, 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 way more reach than we do, and way, way, way less profit. Because if I'm just, you know, a comedy store or whatever, and I'm selling, or not a comedy store, a comedy show, or the content is just general, I get a lot of traction and people, you know, oh my gosh, I got 27 million views on, you know, Johnny bit my finger or whatever, but the guy's broke, or, you know, it's real hard to monetize.
Yeah, strategy, that. Right.
Where if you have a podcast or a piece of content or a YouTube channel or a Facebook group or whatever community you want to create that's got 1,219 members, the old ego doesn't do well with that. But if all of those 219 members, of 163 of them, manage 82% of that, you know, 50 million square feet in the town,
right?
That could be wildly profitable. Where some guy's, you know, doing fart jokes or something, he's got, you know, a million followers and he's making pennies. So,
right. Yeah,
how clear you are on your messaging is wildly. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we talked about segmenting. Okay. Last thing I'll give you, and I think that should be enough for one podcast. We also want to look at how we market. So you got to understand how many people there are. If I'm residential, I'm in Austin, and I do the math on my niche, and I'm like, there are 42,000 households or whatever the case may be,
sure,
fit my niche. Well, then I'm going to do a mass marketing program, right? I might take out a local Austin ad, and, you know, not for the whole Super Bowl, but if I can be like on my local affiliate, I might do that, because if it's a real general, like, everybody needs this. If you try to do that to get the seven, you know, the 100, you know, 219 property managers that control a lot of stuff, or the 163 or whatever the number is, obviously the ROI is not going to be great. So you got to understand how many people there are. You got to match your bait and your methodology to that. So if there's only 153 of them, I'm going to do a very one-on-one marketing based thing, right? So I might say, I'm going to make a list of these 100, and Chet Holmes got a book called Ultimate Sales Machine, where he talks about the Dream 100.
Second time I've heard that. I'm gonna write it down real quick.
Yeah, it's a great book. Chet's Pass, which sucks. It was a great book. I tell everyone that because I read the book and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna go find this guy and like buy everything he's got, because I so liked his vibe. And I Googled when he died. I was devastated. So I always tell everybody, because I don't want you to have the same devastation I went through.
Good to know. Appreciate that.
All right. Yeah. So you can just go in. Yeah. Chet was great, but he's not with us anymore. He has a whole chapter in that on the Dream 100, which is a very different. If you've got, you know, 100 or so, 50 or 100 or, you know, dozens or, you know, 100 or so people, you can market to them very directly, right? Especially if they're trying to customers, where that one guy represents $100,000 a year in revenue or $1 million of lifetime value. You could buy for him, you know, jasonsthebest.com and spend, you know, $100 making a landing page or something. You can do, you know, say you can have a podcast. Yeah. Right. So the way that you relate to him is going to be wildly different than if you're like, I need 1,000 residential clients at $300 a piece and they're all worth $250 to $400 a piece. It doesn't really matter. There are no A customers. We have to do kind of mass marketing. But for you, the guy that's a $1,200 a month customer is wildly different than 12,000, which is wildly different than 50,000. And you can spend $2,000 to $3,000 a year on one prospect if he's a $1 million lifetime value. Right.
And maybe digging in and figuring that out would be, you know, get more specific with like what that looks like, right? What's there? What are they managing? Or what getting more information on kind of where these people are in the market? Because I know a lot of times they move around a lot, but, you know, it's a lot of the same players in different companies throughout town. So,
Great, because once you get to
if you moved over here, like, how are you doing? How you been? Like, you
know, it's a relationship, they're going to follow you. Or you're going to follow that.
Sure.
Companies buy nothing. Disney, you know, multi-billion dollar company, never bought a thing. Doris in accounting or in payables, she, you know, whatever, in purchasing, she buys crap. But Disney, the company, has never bought anything. So same with the property management company. They've never bought nothing. That dude makes a decision to buy stuff. All right. Questions, comments, Drew, to Marks, before we give this thing a wrap?
No, I think you've been, it's been very helpful just kind of chatting it out. Mike, always a pleasure. I really enjoy it. I love what you're doing, you know, with your community. It's just grown so much since the last time we spoke. And even before then I was listening to the podcast. So, you know, keep it up, man. We appreciate it. I know I speak for everybody out here. So thank you.
Hey, you speak for most people. There's got to be a hater or two out there. It's like,
there's always going to be haters, right? And you're usually the loud ones. But
if you don't have a hater, you're not doing enough. You know, you're not doing enough in the world. So God bless you.
Exactly right.
If you're listening, love you. No good. We don't take Canadian. All right. Clean Nation, if that is a scratch where you're itching, you're digging our vibe, and you're like, I would like more of this nonsense, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. We got podcasts, webinars. I've written a couple books. We've got a Facebook group. Best place to start is probably the on-demand masterclass. It's all there, growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. See you there.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. I don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.